Okay, let's turn to Psalm chapter 12. Psalm chapter 12. Do you ever need help with something? Well, that's what we're talking about tonight. Psalm chapter 12. And Brother Johnson, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir?
Heavenly Father, we do thank you again for this opportunity to be in your house here in just the middle of the week. It's a blessing to step out from the world and all the sin and the craziness that go on out there, Father. We're just thankful to be in here tonight and fellowship one with another, sing praises to you, which encourage our hearts, Father, and also to open your word and to hear from you here this evening, Father. I just pray that this isn't just another Wednesday night service, but that we'd all be drawn closer to you, yes, Father, and just be better equipped to serve you, yes, the remainder of this week and the days ahead. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen. Psalm chapter 12, verse 1. What's the first two words? Help, Lord. Have you ever done that? Oh, yes. Help, Lord. For the godly man ceaseth. For the faithful fail from among the children of men. They speak vanity, every one with his neighbor. With flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things. Who have said, with our tongue will we prevail. Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy. Now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. Well, that first verse, help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth. For the faithful fail from among the children of men. My wife was looking at the computer today and she says, look at this. It was a live shot of the Mexican border. And I don't know, was there thousands or 100,000s? Going across, they broke through our National Guard or whoever's on the border right now. Anyway, they just broke through and our men weren't even trying to stop them. They just let them run through. Huge mob of people running right through. Wickedness is abounding on every hand. All we can cry out, verse 1, is, help, Lord. The city of New York is crying out for help. All these people are being bused and flown around the country. And I mean, it's not just our country. I heard today that in the Netherlands as well, their government told them, if you have a spare room, if you have any room in your house that's not being used, you have to open it up to people and you have to feed them. And, well, we're all into hospitality, but lawbreakers that just storm a country, that's a different story. So such wickedness is abounding everywhere. And it seems like about no one cares. And I know some do care. I mean, some of our political leaders are trying to stop this insanity, but they're not having any success doing it. And then today I got some news notes on my computer, and the headline was that the world is laughing at America. And when I saw the picture, I thought, I understand why. Here's a man, an older man, glasses. He's got on what looks like an Admiral's Navy dress coat, uniform, you know, with all the stripes on the sleeves, you know, like the Navy has. And he's standing there in a skirt with women's shoes on, women's dress shoes. And next to him is standing a man with a shaved head, also in a dress. And it's like, these are, I guess, our high-level officials. They're in Europe right now, these two people, representing us. And the article just stated something about the president of France made a comment about America. Vladimir Putin made a comment about America. And it was some person in the official news organization for Russia, and this man said, we don't even have to worry. This is the basic what he said. We don't even have to worry about America because they're destroying themselves. It's just wickedness of mine. In verse 1, help, Lord. We can't do anything about what is going on. It is pure insanity. People want to live in a fairy tale world pretending they're a gender they're not. And we're expected to go along and play with them. You know, it's one thing to play along with children in their little games, but there's a time when it's time to put away childish things and become a man, the Bible talks about. And this is not childish things that I'm talking about. This is just wicked things that I'm talking about. So we need to cry out to God tonight, verse 1. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail among the children of men. Our nation has become, well, the whole nation isn't that way, but it seems like the insanity fringe has been elevated as if that's the norm. But notice with me in Romans 1. These people have what the Bible calls a reprobate mind. I can't imagine someone in the Navy standing there, a man, with his dress uniform and a skirt and ladies' dress shoes. It's pathetic. Romans 1:28. The Bible says, and even as they did not like to retain who? God in their knowledge. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have what? Pleasure in them that do them. So these other people are standing back, finding pleasure in this. I just couldn't help but, you know, many people wondered out loud what kind of shape our military is even in with this sodomite push. And just seeing that this admiral, I don't know if he's an admiral, but an officer in the Navy in this skirt. I'm just thinking, you know, is that what our troops look like right now? You know? Fatigues on the gun and they're in skirts out there? Is that what it is? Oh, it's pathetic. Absolutely pathetic what we are seeing happen. Notice in Deuteronomy 22. You know, when people ask us about things like this, you know, we just need to have the scripture and give it to them. And just emphasize to them this. This is not my opinion. This is what God says. This is the creator of the universe. And this is what he says. Deuteronomy 22:5. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. So, you know, when it comes down to it, I really could care less what the leaders of Europe think. I mean, that doesn't faze me one little bit. But it does faze me what God says. And this is what he says. These two grown men, they're not young men, they're older men, standing there, one in his uniform and a skirt and the other one in a dress. That is an abomination to God, for them to be dressed that way. An abomination. And all I can say is Psalm 12:1, help, Lord, help, help, Lord. So we need God's help because of wickedness abounding. Number two, we need God's help for salvation because we cannot save ourselves. So Psalm 79. So it's only by God's grace that he has brought us to the point where we see the utter folly of such things and where we've seen the emptiness of our own good works. In Psalm 79:9, what's the first two words? Help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of thy name, and deliver us and purge away our sins for what?
Thy namesake.
Thy namesake. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what?
Saved.
So these people that say, well, in the Old Testament, they got saved by works or they got saved by offering sacrifices. What did that verse say right there? Help us, O God of our what?
Salvation
for the glory of thy name and deliver us and purge away what?
Our sins
for what?
Thy name's
sake. They were trusting in his name, trusting in his sacrifice to come. So we need God's help for salvation because we can't save ourselves. Now, we might not parade around in things that are abomination to God, but we're still sinners. And there's only one person that can save us, and that is Christ. Notice in Psalm 25 and verse 18. Psalm 25:18. Look upon mine affliction and my pain, and what?
Forgive
all my sins. So it's Psalm 12:1. Help, Lord. That's all we can do is cry out, help, Lord. We can't save ourselves. We can't take away one of our sins. Notice in 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. And verse 9, 1 John 1:9. If we what?
Confess
our sins. He is faithful and just to what?
Forgive
us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So it's not of us. All we can do is cry out, help, Lord. All we can do is cry out for him to save us because we cannot save ourselves. Number three. We need God's help in trouble because man's help is so feeble and limited. I'll read that again. We need God's help in trouble because man's help is so feeble and limited. Let's go to Psalm 108. Psalm 108. We need God's help in trouble because man's help is so feeble and limited. Psalm 108, verse 12. Psalm 108, verse 12. Give us help from what?
Trouble,
for vain is the help of man. Give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. There are so many things that man cannot do, cannot help us, cannot do anything about it. There are so many diseases man hasn't figured out a cure for. What can man do? I mean, there are some very wealthy people on this earth, but their wealth is not unlimited. They can't cure, they can't help every problem. Notice in Jeremiah 17. So we need God's help in trouble because man's help is so limited. So feeble and limited. But how many times do we go to man first instead of God? You know, it's like a simple thing as a headache. I mean, how many times do we go to the medicine cabinet before we even think to pray? Well, that should never be the case. We should always pray first. But Jeremiah 17:5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that what?
Trusteth
in man. And maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. So cursed be the man that trusteth in man. So more and more I have less and less confidence in our military, the way it's going. We need God's help. Help, Lord. Psalm 12:1. Help, Lord. Because God's help is unlimited. Notice in Luke chapter 1, God's help is unlimited. You know, we can ask people to help with this or that. And, you know, many times they may say, well, I don't know what else to do. I don't have the answer. But God has the power and he has the answer. Luke 1:37. For with God, what? Nothing shall be impossible. So we need God's help because man's help is feeble. It's limited. But God's is unlimited. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Notice in Ephesians chapter 3. And verse 20. Ephesians 3:20. The Bible says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. So he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. I mean, that covers everything. He's able to do that. There's no limit with him. And so we can go to him in our time of trouble. So we need God's help in trouble because man's help is so feeble and limited. Number four, we need God's help in persecution because of man's cruelty. Psalm 119, verse 86. So we need God's help in persecution because of man's cruelty. Man can be so cruel. Psalm 119, verse 86. It says, all thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. And then what does he say? Help thou me. So they persecute me wrongfully. Help thou me. So, you know, this happened to the disciples. They were persecuted. Imprisoned at times, whipped at times. We don't know what we might face the more wicked this world gets. So we need his help. Notice in John 16, verse 2. Jesus told his disciples in John 16:2, they shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth what?
God's service.
Well, that's what Saul was doing before he became the Apostle Paul. He was killing Christians, imprisoning them, giving his voice when they were killed, when they were stoned. So we need God's help because man can be so cruel. So we just cry out again, Psalm 12:1, help, Lord. He's the one that can do it. Number five, we need God's help in life because he is the creator. We need God's help in life because he is the creator. Psalm 121. Have you ever tried to put something together and finally gave up and decided to read the instructions? Well, you know what? The Bible is our instruction book from God. We need it. And sometimes people go many years of their lives and then finally realize, you know what? My life is a mess. I'm in a mess. I don't know what to do. And so they finally open God's instruction booklet, the Bible. Psalm 121, verse 1. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from who? The Lord, which made heaven and earth. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. I've read about times when people are up in the air and something happens to the pilot. And then the most recent one, which has been several months ago, I read about a control tower operator had not flown a particular plane that someone was up in with a pilot medical emergency. And so he had to pull up the cockpit and see what it was like that this man was flying up there, and then guided him down safely. We need that, don't we? We need the Bible to guide us, because there's so much danger in life. I mean, we have an unseen enemy, Satan, that's trying to trip us up. You know, it's like he has strung fishing line all over. You know, in Vietnam, they did things like that, and then booby-trapped bombs and killed many of our soldiers. So it was invisible to our soldiers, the line that was going wherever, whether it's low or high, and then they would go through that line and it would trip something and explode. And so we have an unseen enemy, and we need God's guidance in our lives. It says in verse 2, "My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth." So he's got the instructions that we need to follow. Notice in Psalm 32, war has become much different because of satellite technology, being able to see things, and drones, being able to get into areas and see in real time on the battlefield what's going on, where the enemy is. In Psalm 32:8, God says, "I will instruct thee and teach thee in what?
The way
which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with what?
Mine eye.
Isn't that wonderful to think about that? God says, "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye." Boy, we need that, don't we? We need that. We need Psalm 12:1. "Help, Lord, please guide me with your eye. Please show me the way that I should go." Notice in Psalm 119 once again. Psalm 119, verse 105. Psalm 118, 105. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." When I read that verse, I think back years ago, and I've shared it with you before, but we were building a house near my grandparents' house, and I was up late. We hadn't moved into our house yet, and I was up painting late in the night, and so my grandparents were in Florida, so we were staying in their home. And so I turned all the lights off at the new house, and I have wet painting gear in my hand, and I saw the yard light across the road, down the road a little bit of my grandparents' house. And so I have my paint pan and my rollers and brushes, and I was just going to wash them out at my grandparents' house. And so I just took off running for the yard light. But what I failed to realize is there was some a hedge, shrubs between me and that. And so all the paint gear fell all over the ground there. So this verse, it tells us here, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." So I had a light I was shooting for, but I didn't have a light for my feet. And so I wiped out. We need God's help. Number 6, we need God's help to preach the gospel, because we need his direction. Acts 16:6. We need God's help to preach the gospel because we need his direction. We find here that Paul was just testing where to go. He was trying this door, this door, this door. We need God's help for direction. Acts 16:6. "Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in" where? "Asia." So at this point, the Holy Ghost said, "No, I don't want you in Asia." Well, later on, God would lead Paul to teach in a school. And through that school of Tyrannus, the gospel would go into all of Asia. So God wanted Paul to have a part of it, but not just him. God would use him to teach in a school and send out a bunch of people through Asia. So they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. So another closed door. No, Paul, at least not now, no. Verse 8, and they passing by Mysia came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and what? Help us. We need that, don't we? We need, Lord, show me where to go. Show me those people that are searching and crying out to you for help. We need God's direction. Number 7, we need God's help to have the grace to continue serving him because of the feeling of our infirmities. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. So once again, we need God's help to have the grace to continue serving him because of the feeling of our infirmities. It makes me think back of Brother Tim's message at Hathaway Hills this last week about it's easy to get discouraged. And so David encouraging himself in the Lord. And we need God's help to have the grace to continue serving him because of the feeling of our infirmities. Hebrews 4:15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be what? Touched with what? The feeling of our infirmities. You know, we talk so much about, you know, we can't live the Christian life by our feelings, and, you know, we can't get saved by our feelings. We can't trust in our feelings to decide if we're saved or not. We have to trust in the Word of God. But, and so sometimes we might almost begin to think, you know what, as a Christian, I should never talk about my feelings then. But it says here, we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. In other words, God cares. It's not like saying a bad word to pray to God and say, Lord, I don't feel worthy, or I don't feel encouraged. Maybe it's, I feel discouraged. He's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. But was in all points, it says, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet what? Without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace, what?
To help
in time of need. We're talking about help. Psalm 12:1, help, Lord. I need direction. I need protection from my enemies. I need wisdom. I need help knowing who to witness to, where to go to witness. Paul tried different doors that closed, but then God opened another one. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's what we need. We need help. Help, Lord. And praise the Lord, he's there. Psalm 121, he doesn't slumber or sleep. He's always awake. And you know, you never get a busy signal. You never have to leave a message. He always hears it in real time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are our help and that you want us to call upon you. And so, Lord, I pray that we would. I pray that we would be in your word. Lord, help us to read it. Help us to look for instruction in it, how to meet our present need. And I pray that you would do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. So, Lord, please take us and use us. We need your help in that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our hymn books, if you would, please.